Okay, so let's do this. Hi, welcome to Corona Cartoons, formerly Venture Bros of the After the Hype Network. There's my longest title of the show yet. Me, your host, is always Brian Dressel, bringing on friends who are all quarantined and locked in their houses and bored to tears like me to watch cartoons and chat about how much we like them. This week, I'm bringing from both her own podcast, Samwise, and Demon Days, we have Samantha Garrison.
Hello.
Was that a good game show intro for you?
Yes, I feel really good about that. If you were Drew Carey, I would run upstage and chest bump you.
That was the exact response I was hoping for.
Good.
We also have from Demon Days, Mr. Johnny Wrecker.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Oh,
greetings and salutations.
Both formerly of, constant co-host of After the Hype and frequent guest of After the Hype as well. You guys have been all over this network, or you are all over this network.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun place to hang. Speaking of which, I've been told that I need to remind people that we now have a Discord channel. If you check out ATH Network, you can talk to anyone on all of our shows. We have a special area for GIFs and memes and all the stuff that most people do on Discord channels. So if you feel like chatting with us offline, there's usually at least one of us kind of kicking around on there, and we'll joke around and have a good time with you. So please look out for us on Discord before I forget to remember that.
Send in your Demon Days fanfic. We're ready. We're beyond ready. Just lay it on. We're ready.
Fanfic really and filthy fan art. We welcome that.
That's what I was just going to say. Art. I want to see the fan art.
Yeah. Because we're already shipping it and ficking it for most of you guys already. So get those. Fire up that Photoshop and let's get to it. You know what I mean?
Let's get weird, right? And then before we jump into the show of the day, Johnny's wife has a wonderful thing that she wanted him to mention the show, and I will let Johnny take it away.
Oh, sure. Yes. My esteemed lady husband, Ray, frequent ATH guest, was contacted this week and has been helping out with a fantastic new charity. You know, we're all trying to, in these times, figure out the best way to do something with ourselves and feel like while we're trapped inside, we're giving back to the world. So Ray's partnered with a brand new charity called Hollywood Helps Hospitals. Hollywood Helps Hospitals, it's a resource for film crews and vendors to offer production supplies and equipment to medical facilities. So the way it works is a production crew can set up a listing to offer expendables or equipment to loan, such as generators, drop cloths, pressure washers, rigging, so on. And then on the other side, medical professionals from a variety of fields can create a listing for a need that they have, such as batteries, pipe and drape, walkie-talkies, all those kind of intermittent things. So we're hoping to bring together unused production equipment to fill medical infrastructure needs so we can kind of speed up the civic response to the COVID pandemic. So it's a great way to support things. And I think they're hoping to have Hollywood Helps Hospitals, either .com or .org, up this week. And if you got stuff sitting around in your garage, again, functional working stuff that might be of use, go ahead and list it and look out and see if people are posting needs that they have. So it's kind of a lot of prop folks and things just have a whole lot of stuff sitting around. So it's hopefully trying to make the best out of a weird situation.
That sounds awesome. I really hope you guys get some good responses on that. Sounds really cool.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes in the next few weeks, but we're hopeful.
Yeah. Okay, you guys ready to talk about some cartoons?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so flashback to 2004, if you will. I am a young little college freshman, and I am hanging out with my buddy Greg. And Greg wanted to get really fucking high. And at that point, I was still very, very afraid of anything that wasn't soda. So I did not get high. And I sat on the couch with a very stoned friend who's like, I need to watch Cowboy Bebop. And I had not seen Cowboy Bebop. So he put it on and he had the time of his night just off in his own land. And I got to fall in love with my new favorite show for at least 5 years. It was the only thing I talked about. And still talking about it today, just not quite as obsessively.
Yeah, it's funny. It's kind of come back into the zeitgeist for me personally. Ray and I just started a rewatch. I hadn't, again, I watched it in college, back in kind of the late 90s anime boom as the old man in the house. and Ray had never seen it, so we kind of worked back through it. And also we kind of realized at the table the other day that we're pretty much very much like a one-to-one analogous comparison to the Demon Days crew from the folks over the residents of the Cowboy Bebop. So it's been interesting. It's come up a lot. Some of it I think has gotten cut out in the edit, but we've definitely referenced it a bit in the last couple of games.
I only saw this show for the first time like a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, really. And it was like a game show. Will was watching it because we had just gotten we had just gotten Hulu, and he was like, "Oh man, I forgot how much I love this show." And I was like kind of surprised to see him watching an anime like so fervently, and like kind of like I heard the music and everything, and I was like, "This is kind of like not just an anime, but like a hipstery anime, which is very not Will." So I sat down and actually I watched the episode Heavy Metal Queen, and I was like hooked. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. So I ended up watching the whole series with him. But he refuses to watch the last episodes ever, like since the first time he's seen them, because it makes him too sad. I haven't been able to stop talking about it since I've seen it. So I'm probably a little at fault for the Demon Days of it all, because I think Ed got into my blood and I finally found like my spirit, my my fantasy sci-fi character analogy that speaks to me that I've been looking for my whole life.
I mean, Ed is a hell of a character. So you chose.
Oh yeah,
it's or maybe she chose you. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. It's interesting. I think it hit it right. It was there was a run of, because for me in the 90s, it was a lot more features. I was very much like a feature guy as far as anime was concerned. I was, Fist of the North Star, Ninja Scroll, Akira, all of that stuff. And so it was the series were a hard sell for me. So the first ones that I really got into were Trigun and Cowboy Bebop. And just the quality of it kind of superseded, because, it's like Dragon Ball Z or whatever would play in the cafeteria on a TV. It was kind of the era of Adult Swim or whatever. But Bebop just had a style, and the music and the art and everything was so good. And the stories were these, couched in kind of the humor and things, were these very intense and quixotic sci-fi stories, It was really really impacted a ton of people. I've been thinking a lot on the rewatch of just like how things have changed in 20 years. And like the first thing Ray said was, "Oh my God, this is the opening to Archer." And it's like, I know they're both pulling from the same kind of in like Flint, James Bond, style. But like, I would love to see a video of those like one-to-one next to each other.
I believe it's on YouTube, because I've watched that before.
Yeah.
And they're not the exact same, but they're very, very close.
It's very close. Like,
it's also the opening that I hope they keep with the upcoming live action show. I think feel like it'd be a weird show without it, but
yeah. It feels fun too, watching it like now, after having gone to film school and being kind of a product of like the video store generation of auteur directors, because everything they're pulling from, Cowboy Bebop pulled from first. And it's like the wildest things. It's like, oh, you guys all just like made Cowboy Bebop. So that's the weirdest thing I was kind of noticing, is just like, it feels like a Tarantino film.
So, oh yeah, like I don't know. This was kind of my thing with like Firefly. Like Firefly to me is always like, oh, this is just so close to Bebop, and I don't think that was ever a problem with it. It always kind of made me like the show more. But yeah, it's different, but still very, very similar.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of fun. They're all just like begging, borrowing, and stealing from one another to create these like really unique. I don't know, or maybe Space Cowboy is just like very specific and speaks to all of us.
That's also very possible.
I mean, it's also the never quite completing a job thing. you have to think impacted Firefly and Serenity and that whole universe. Like the always on the edge of being out of food and money, you know, I feel like had to have intentionally or unintentionally kind of dripped its way into, you know, a much more Western theme. But Serenity is just rife with those themes.
Oh, yeah. They're, like I said, they're very, very similar. And it's fun watching them back to back if you've never done it. I did that last time I rewatched Cowboy Bebop, I think. Maybe two times ago. It's a little while ago. But it's really fun because they are so similar. But let's dive into our episodes. So when I asked both of you to be on, the way I pitched this one was, how about we both, or we all three, pick an episode that we like, and then we just kind of talk about those three. And we picked, I think, a pretty good smattering of both very stylized fun and more dramatic-ish thing. And yeah, it kind of speaks to Bebop as a whole. So we will list those out now. We'll go chronologically because I think that just makes sense in my head. So I picked the pilot. And the reason I picked the pilot, Asteroid Blues, is I love all of Cowboy Bebop. There's only one episode I'm not a huge fan of, which ironically is the one that Johnny picked. But I did really enjoy the rewatch, so maybe I was just wrong for all those years. I have no problem being wrong. But I picked the pilot because I thought it did the best at kind of wearing each hat that the show will eventually wear. I thought it nailed its serious moments, its funny moments, its action, its choice of music, the animation, the fight style, like all of it was on display in one way or another as far as Spike, the main character, is concerned. And I thought that was a really fun way to introduce the show and kind of set the tone and the pace. But we can dive more back into that in a moment. Johnny, your episode will be next, right?
Yeah, episode number 7, the aforementioned Heavy Metal Queen. It just sticks out. I mean, there's so many good and interesting episodes of Bebop. And I think the reason the Queen, I think, for something to talk about here, because you have the kind of the canon story episodes that the backstory, it's a little bit heavier. And then you've got kind of the lighter, you know, Bounty of the Week episodes. And this one is much more of the kind of the lighter variety, but it still hits some really heavy things. And I just think it's a great example of the world building that Bebop does. And I just am such a fan of their world and the way that it's a lot of show don't tell, and it's a lot of letting you fill in pieces. And I think just having this whole thing set around like a truck stop and trucking as an interplanetary idea. And there are these great, huge kind of Toblerone shaped, you know, hauling vessels with these tiny cabs, but like just like the kind of the Japanese and some of the Thai truck culture, they're all these very big characters, and their cabs are all just decked out with little chibi toys and stuff. And I don't know. And VT is just a great character. And it's funny because one of the things for me on the rewatch is that Bebop sits at this very interesting point in time in that like late 90s, you know, capsule of like they've got cell phones, they've got internet of some sort, but the ubiquity of things, YouTube, you know, the technology is still kind of locked in this very one moment in time. And in the same way, there's a lot of race and gender themes, but they're not quite fully formed or quite as evolved as we'd maybe like them to be now, but they're definitely present. There's definitely gender binary conversations of like people swapping gender or race or weight and kind of this transhumanist idea. And then how classic gender roles and new ones get kind of thrown together a little bit. And I think Heavy Metal Queen was always, as I rewatched it these last couple of times, something that kind of jumped out at me as something that had a lot of like potential to really touch on some stuff, but also was just of its time enough that it didn't quite get there.
Cool. Sam, what was yours?
I picked Hard Luck Woman. It's Ed's final episode. It's a really big turning point. It's the girls' episode. It's so cool because it's a really big turning point for Faye as well. And it should be, and it is, it's just like really emotionally complex. I don't think I've ever been put through the ringer, and it never changes. Like, it's always a hard watch, and I always find something really cool to appreciate, like, or new to appreciate about it, and like the complexity that went into these characters, even though these episodes are all just like short little slices of life. And, you know, nothing's ever like really spelled out in the show in great detail. You just kind of get to sit with it and figure it out on your own. And I think this episode in particular really lets you do that. And the closing text when they say "see a space cowgirl" just guts me every time. Waterworks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it shows what a family the Bebop is, but also not a family in like the cheesy movie TV sense, but like in the real life messy, like we don't get to choose it sense. Or like the, you know, it's really cool. Just over, yeah. I just, it's such an, yeah. It's the best of what the show has to offer. And all these episodes are great. But like, for me, that was like, whoa, I can't believe what I just watched.
So when we were picking these episodes, Sam went first and you kind of set the like, okay, so I can't top that as far as seriousness as like character development thing. So I kind of wanted to change gears. And that's why I originally picked Stray Dog Strut, because I just love the music of that episode. Like, I am obsessed with the score from beginning to end in that one. It's just so fucking good. But when I kind of started rewatching the episode, I'm like, I love how they get Ayn. I love all this. But if I had to pick one out of the 26, this probably wouldn't be my one. I had to go with Asteroid Blues, because I love this one for not going nearly, like, the characters aren't there yet, but that still always had that moment for me with Asimov's wife or girlfriend or whatever she was. And I just love that it set the tone very early that it can be this kind of silly, fun show and still have very emotional teeth. And just by having that moment in one was able to kind of like set that like pathway that would go all the way to where Sam's episode is, where it's like taking swings for the fences and just knocking it out of the park every time.
Oh, yeah. Those final couple images, you know, of the coyote freaking out and the shot to the head and her just, you know, and then them like Bonnie and Clyde style opening up on them. It's just like, woof. And they also like, I think Bebop does this great thing of having those like Heat style moments, like the movie Heat, like
yes,
where they always end up at a crossroads, like looking the person in the eye. Mm-hmm. And as much as like, you know, VT in Heavy Metal Queen just kind of rolls her eyes at the entirety of the bounty hunter culture, and you see some like bounty hunters harassing a waitress, and like there's a lot of the downside of it, you know, but you see almost in every episode of Bebop that moment where they do look the bounty in the eye and things are just infinitely more complicated than this person's bad. You know, I pick them up, I get money, you know, and it's kind of a perpetually flawed system.
Yeah. And I kind of love the way they set it up in the first episode with the way that Spike introduces himself, I guess, to, I think it's Katriana, Asimov's wife, girlfriend, by helping her with her groceries and then kind of ripping her off of her groceries and then giving them back. And he just kind of has this charming way about him. And I really enjoyed how he went from kind of sarcastic bounty hunter to very charming, could be your friend sort of guy. And it just kind of showed his range of like, this guy can really get under your skin. Like, he can just talk to anyone. And I thought it was a really kind of fun way to introduce him. And then also kind of make the girl a more, like, you get to know her through him and you kind of see that she's maybe not that bad of a guy. She's just with a bad guy. And it makes that ending that much more like, ooh.
Yeah. And all of the, like, the subtle hints with her of like sipping the beer and drinking, you know, at first you see that she's pretending to be pregnant, but then like, there's that interplay there too. And again, like, we've talked about the seriousness of the show and its imagery, but also let's not forget a full sideways sandwich, like in his throat.
Oh yeah.
Like Huckleberry Hound style, you know, like it still has those anime moments of like the, you know, you see like a chibi reaction, a very light one, like not like full chibi, but like there's still some silliness there, you know.
Even how he starts up the final like fist fight with Asimov. He has the big poncho and the sombrero on, and he's wearing his full normal suit underneath. And even like Asimov calls him out, like, you look ridiculous in that outfit. Like, even when the show's being serious, it can still kind of wink in a fun way. Like, it just did that better than anything I had seen at that time.
That's the joy of Spike Spiegel as a character, too, is like he's this brooding bounty hunter, but he's also like a total clown.
Yeah, he loves his job in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the funny thing. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just like, he's as much as like he's that sort of badass, he's also just like there's an accessibility to him that I really appreciate.
Yeah, it's funny. Rewatching the series and then talking about it in context of Demon Days and then thinking about every time you know, like see a space cowboy and then you compare it to Firefly, which is very Western. The whole series seems to me of like this almost Anglophile reverence for just American any like stuff, like the way it portrays, you know, in the first episode in Tijuana, right? And it's just, you have kind of this almost cartoonish Mexican, you know, idea. And then the diner and everything around the truckers in Heavy Metal Queen. There's so much that's just like everything about America, everything about our 20th century of culture, from noir to jazz to sci-fi, all gets these, it's all just thrown in a blender. And it's almost like you talk about like the way people have, well, this is just everything I like. We talk about all the directors that have kind of aped different things from Bebop. Well, I think Bebop's like, here's everything about 20th century everything. Noir, their take on action, their take on music, and this is everything we love, and we're just throwing it all up against the wall, you know. And it's just this great tapestry where if you look at it and look for different little things, you'll find just plenty to feed on, like every time you do.
One of my all-time favorite things in this show, kind of jumping into Sam's episode, is their depiction of Earth.
Oh yeah.
Like, I love, and I'm kind of obsessed with, or at least I was when I was, you know, very, very obsessed with Bebop. I'm just kind of obsessed with Earth in this thing. The whole, like, from the shattered moon, like, the constantly raining meteors, and, like, how people just hate Earth, but then there's people who are very loyal to Earth. And I just love everything about it.
Yeah, and I think that being able to get all those little pieces makes that kind of end of series kind of starting to wind things up, finale of finally getting there to really be there and see it with the meteors and just the flooded nature of everything, that much more profound. And then all of those what seem like one-off pieces and episodes of, like, you know, the when they're looking for the chess master and all of the, you know, talking about the gate accident and everything, and like all of it just there comes into full view. And then they get to have this wonderful character-driven episode without going, hey, guys, here's all this Earth stuff, because they've spent the last 20 episodes just slowly peppering that in there. You know, it's so fulfilling, and it frees them up to do so much more.
Yeah, it feels like something in a lesser show that they try to cram into one episode instead of just very slowly sparsing it out if you're paying attention.
Yeah. And it makes it that much more heart-wrenching, I think, when you realize that Faye was involved in all of it and hasn't been able to remember, because it's just like so much was taken from her. That's why I love this episode so much, though. It makes sense of chaos in a way that every single character in that episode wants to. You know, like the episode itself does that for the series. It contextualizes everything we've just seen. And the characters can't see the big picture. We as the audience can. And that's why, even though this episode should be really, really sad, I mean, the fact that Ed leaves and they just eat her eggs should be so sad. The fact that her dad left her. But it's like, I don't know, because we see the bigger picture, it's actually a celebration of like what she gets to do, because she found these dudes that were just like her dad, that are just kind of wandering and trying to make sense of the chaos. Like, she knows in her soul, like, she's drawn to the right things, you know, she's drawn to the right pieces. And it's like, as much as it hurts, it's like, it makes us feel good as an audience. And I think that's just so special.
Oh, it's definitely happy tears. Like, it's very happy for Ed, but devastated that she's gone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ugh.
Them eating the eggs has always been, for me, it's that and then Spike looking at the bye-bye sign on the Bebop. Yeah. Those two moments just destroy me. Yeah. By the time See You Space Girls on the screen, I'm already done crying. Like, I'm out of the room.
Yeah, and it's, and they're weirdly just right back where they started, you know, with Jet and Spike.
Yeah.
And some amount of food.
I mean, because for all intents and purposes, Faye also leaves in this episode. She does not intend on going back from where she is.
Yeah.
Like, in her head, she's also out.
She found where she belonged. As much as it wasn't there anymore, like, she, it seemed like she came to terms with it. When she calls herself a ghost, another heart-wrenching moment. Like,
yeah.
Because she could have actually picked the old lady's brain, you know? Like, she could have asked for what essentially is just facts, you know, a Wikipedia article of what happened. Like, she understands emotionally what happened, you know what I mean? And, like, she sees that person from her past who recognizes her, which ties into, like, the video of, like, I know who that I was a thing, but yeah. I am also not, you know. And I also love the way they shoot the reveal of the house at the end. You know, it's so much times, and even shows I really respect will fall into that problem of like doing a flashback to something you saw 10 minutes ago. And you're like, I get it. I'm an adult. Like, I can process information. They're like, oh my God, it was the key. And then you cut back to the key on the desk and you're like, yeah, I know, I'm an adult. Like, I watch TV shows all the time. Like, you don't need to do that. And I think so, to use flashback to legitimately just give new information and to color a world and to kind of experience the duality of Faye's mind in that moment. And then to just see the mansion door open up and then cut back to like an empty plot is just,
where she's drawing her old room.
I know.
Her going to bed in this rectangle is like, I'm fine.
It was like, honestly, a little much after spending 3 weeks without furniture and saying, like, and like feeling like a ghost in a new town because I haven't been able to leave my house and like no one knows we're here and no one knows where we are. And I, like, that took on a real new meaning for me when I watched that last night.
Oh, no.
The whole point of the show is to make us feel better.
I mean, it does, because at the end of the day, like, Faye got what she wanted. Ed still gets to be the smartest person in the room who has nothing to prove. And Spike and Jet always have each other.
And Sam, I will happily eat your eggs.
I am pickling all my eggs right now in my fridge. Spicy pickled eggs. But
fantastic.
Sure. It's been a long quarantine.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
We didn't really spend a lot of time on your episode, Johnny. We just kind of breezed past it both times, and I feel a little bad because I don't think Sam or I really said a lot about it.
No, sure. So I think, and it's interesting because Sam, as you kind of said, you picked like the girls episode. And it's something that I always thought with VT, there's a couple kind of what now we would really understand is, because I always understood VT, and maybe this is my own issue, as like a non-binary character. Like, even when people are guessing her name, like, she doesn't give pronouns, you know. And it's funny because I went back and I rewatched this time. One of the rewatch I did just to refresh for the show, I actually watched the dub instead of the subtitles. And I'm always a subtitles guy, because I feel like in the localization, they take stuff out and that makes me crazy. And I watched the dub, and it was really interesting to me that they had the vocal performance for VT is so much more coded feminine. Like, it's very much like a Bea Arthur, like Golden Girls raspy, still that like alto bassy voice, but it's so much more clearly coded feminine. And I don't know if that's just, you know, hearing a voice associated with the character and not having that same kind of inherent coding, maybe to like a Japanese tuned ear, the Japanese reads that way too. But I always thought that it was supposed to be much more of a mystery. All the names they pick.
I didn't know she was a woman the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
Like, did you think she was non-binary, or did you think she was like a man?
I just didn't know. Like, okay. I just figured, because everyone in this show is like kind of androgynous in that pleasant anime way.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, except for like Faye. And so I was just like,
no.
So I was just like, I don't know. I know that she lost, you know, I know she lost a partner. I know, or like that was kind of implied, you know, when they talked about the drink. That's all I could figure out. And I was just like, I don't care. And then when she said she was someone's wife, I was just like, oh. But I also think that's like a culturally kind of Japanese thing. Some women, as they age, they feel like they're not a woman anymore. Or there's like a term for it that's basically, I'm no longer a woman, where they like reach middle age and like kind of lose their attractiveness. And I don't know if that's part of it too, like culturally, but I learned that from watching Queer Eye Japan.
There is definitely like all the names that they guess are like Val and Adrian. They're all these like very like right middle of the line kind of names. And when she finally says like, he was my husband. Well, she says in the diner, I lost my husband. But again, even like Heavy Metal Queen, that doesn't necessarily mean female, like in a certain context. Like,
also it's like space, so
yeah. And she's flamboyant, and like even with all the, you know, the Ed stuff too, there's this kind of line there. And she definitely hangs with the other truckers, like listens to fucking rad music, you know. And it's really, and you see, when you see the picture in the compass at the very end, she codes so much more femme. She's younger. She's got Farrah Fawcett hair. She's got like a leather, like a leopard print, like rock and roll shirt on. Like, she codes like definitely female in that moment. And it's just kind of an interesting, you know, some of the stuff, because it's funny, you know, watching it with Ray, we're both quick to kind of notice, particularly Jet for some reason. And I know Jet's got his own issues with ladies or whatever, but like, he's just like, ugh, you can't trust them, you know, they're so silly, you know. And the show is actively undermining that idea, but they also bring it up all the time. Spike and Jet are constantly like, goddamn, these women are going to drive us insane, you know. And even their obliviousness, even in the last episode, you know, in Ed's last episode to what's actually going on, is the show showing you like, here's these two women having like a profound moment in their lives, and these two dudes are just like so up their own ass that they don't even realize what's going on. And so they're, well, again,
until it's way too late.
Yeah. Until it's way too late. And then they just have some eggs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that the show is right on this, and it's such a great end of the 20th century time capsule of like, we were all toying with these ideas. We were all tinkering with these ideas. And I know it's some of us, you know, Brian, you and I were in college at that time. So it's like,
yep.
Our, even at Bible college, our brains are all expanding fourth dimensionally anyway. So I think no wonder we fell in love with the show in college, you know? And it's like, so many of those ideas are there, but they're just not taken the whole way that we would take them now. And I think it makes it easy, interesting to go back and reflect on some of the stuff the show deals with.
So here, you just mentioned something that just kind of like sparked a topic in my mind. it's interesting. There's a lot of things that you get really into in college, or a lot of like dudes or girls really get into in college, that one footstep out of college, like, well, that was stupid. Kind of wish I wasn't into that. Like, I'm thinking for guys like Fight Club, like, it's still a good movie, but I didn't need to be that obsessed with it, sort of thing. Bebop stayed in quality. Like, I find that really interesting, that it's one of those shows a lot of people get into in college, kind of like Johnny and I, but it actually stayed like, oh yeah, you could still be into that one. That one's still worth your time. Can you think of why that would be for this one?
Well, I think that they, again, like the deep subtext of, and again, this isn't Heavy Metal Queen at all, which really has one of the more cheeky and easy to solve kind of like Bounty of the Weeks. Once you get past kind of the misdirect at the beginning, which I love, in a very Trigun sort of way of like the guy with the dragon tattoo.
That guy looked way too much like Woody Allen. Bothers me every time.
100%. But again, like, along the theme of circumventing an identity or an idea of like, what does that mean? What do you think when you hear that? What does that person look like, you know, versus what you're actually confronted with? And I think that Bebop on the whole, like, I think back to, you know, the chess master. I think back to the like weird timeless little kid hanging out with a jazz musician. Oh, like,
love that one.
Oh yeah.
The sci-fi stories that are being told, or even Ed's introduction with the AI satellite who was trying to draw something,
make some friends
that it remembered. The sci-fi there and the stories that are telling, much like those first couple reboot Doctor Who seasons, you know, like, you know, the Eccleston in the first couple Tenants, of like really just taking, you know, regardless of what the music or the visuals are, like really taking a stab at some sci-fi stuff that's like pretty esoteric. And I think that the kind of timeless quandary of those things helps Bebop come back, you know, and still have a quality to it. It's like a good novel that every time you read it, even in different contexts, you know, like, I thought Bebop in college was profoundly progressive in its female characters, just because they weren't just boobs in an anime series, or weren't just there to go, you boys, but the fact that Faye was like, I'm out, I'm doing stuff, like, I got a thing, and just would go.
Faye has an incredible arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that they are still it's not a matter of progressive or not. It's that she's allowed to be who she is. All of these characters, like, Spike isn't just the brooding hero. Jet's not just the, you know, muscle with a pass. Faye's not just the tits. Ed's not just the annoying kid. Like, they all get fully realized arcs. They all matter and have lives outside the ship, you know, whether it's like Faye gambling or Ed belonging to a troop of orphan children without really being an orphan. Like, there's, like, the best sci-fi teaches us something about ourselves, you know? And it's like that permission to be a whole person.
Oh, sure. And I think Jet wouldn't admit it, but he's essentially the homemaker. So much of the time he's on the ship cooking dinner, cleaning up, fixing the ships, which just get wrecked like every episode, you know.
Ruining his bonsai trees. Don't forget about that.
Oh, the bonsai trees. Yeah, but like,
yeah.
He actually has to go and do something, but he almost hesitates whenever he's pulled into those situations, you know, of like, hey, you know, and it's like, I remember the old jet black dog that would never let anything go, you know, that once the tenacity and the viciousness. And I think that what you see of Jet 90% of the time is that what he'd rather be is just like, I found you guys a job, go do it, I'm gonna make dinner, you know.
He's a mom.
Yeah, it's just a if you just look at like the use of their ships, like Faye and Spike use their ships in every episode, at least probably for some sort of an action sequence. We see Jets the least by a long shot.
I did notice something really cute though when I was watching it yesterday, and that's that we all kind of picked like a different genre of music for our episode, and that made me really happy.
There's also, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, while there is this jazz theme, for me personally, the only ska song in all of Cowboy Bebop is in Heavy Metal Queen, in the chase scene in the asteroid.
Oh my god.
Yep, it's true.
Well, of course you picked this episode then.
Heavy metal and ska, which is a weird combo, but it tastes great together. And yeah, what are you going to do?
It's the Wrecker special.
Mm-hmm. But I've said pretty much everything about these episodes that I think I can say, and just kind of about Bebop in general. I have one final thing. Was there any other thing that we have not touched on that you guys wanted to really quick before we start wrapping up?
I will say this. It is one of the few, I think I put this out in a tweet a little bit ago, but it is one of the few songs or one of the few series that I watch the opening credits and the full end credits every single time I watch the show. And the funny thing is, I think Archer is also another one of those shows for me, which just kind of says that maybe I have a thing I like. But definitely, if you're not singing along to like real folk blues at the end with a little tear in your eye, then I don't know if you were really actually watching the show. You know what I mean?
100%. Sam, anything else you wanted to touch on?
No, I feel good about this. I loved doing this. Thank you.
Yes.
This really is helping stave off boredom and making me a little happier.
I mean, when I pitched this show, this was the second one I wanted to talk about. I wanted to do the Clerks one because I thought it'd be fun. And then I'm like, and then of course Bebop. So this was definitely going
to
happen.
And I said, you need to let Johnny and I come on for Bebop because we're the cutest 100%. And the best.
I mean, should we... For the real After the Hype Super Nerds, should we talk about the Demon Days crossover a little bit before we all jump out of here?
One last Bebop question, then yes.
Sure.
So the only other thing I was going to ask you guys was, if you had to pick a different episode today, what would that episode have been?
Either Ed's first episode or Stray Dog Strut.
It's because you like those animals.
What? Ina's so cute.
I was gonna go, it's funny because I think a couple of us both kind of leaned into this one, but Toys in the Attic.
Such a fun episode.
Is I love when and it's funny because I think we were just watching Picard. And Picard did a bottle episode too, of just like established sets. And I love when TV shows that you know don't have to do bottle episodes still do a bottle episode. As like, you don't have to do the all-in-one room, all-in-one set idea, because there's not the same constraints on animation in that way. But the writers are still like, no, we're never leaving the ship this episode. We're just going to stay here. We're going to do our own weird little take on aliens.
Then we're going to fight.
It will never
leftovers.
Come up again. Like, it will never. We'll blame the old lobster in the fridge. We'll shoot it out the airlock and never to be seen or heard from. As it propagates throughout the universe, maybe? Like... You just see it turn into like sparkles and float off everywhere. And you're just like, oh no. Oh no. This is the unseen prequel to somebody else's terrible like invasion movie. They're like Starship Troopers started with Spike kicking a refrigerator out the back of his ship. You know what I mean? Like, and I just love that whole episode. Everybody's responses. Again, it's like, throwing them in a situation where you see all of them act their character, you know, all of them act to their, I mean, Ed in that episode is hilarious. Like, yeah. So yeah, I think Toys in the Attic's probably my backup.
My gut instinct whenever talking Bebop and talking about, you know, best or whatever we want to talk about always goes to Ballad of Fallen Angels. I think a lot of people do. If you ever look at like an online list of episodes ranked, that's usually number one. And that's probably the main reason I didn't pick it, is because I feel like it's been talked to death.
Yeah. But also I will say that as much as it sets up stuff, I think that the two Jupiter Jazz episodes have much more interesting things to say about Vicious than and Spike and their past in the war than Ballad of Fallen Angels does. Like,
yeah, Ballad of Fallen Angels is more of a, it's kicking a pebble. Like, that's all it's really doing. And it just does a great job of it, of really piquing your interest. But it doesn't really say it. I mean, it says a lot with saying very little. But yeah, you're right. If you want to get the actual story, you got to go deeper.
Yeah. And it's funny. I know that other After the Hype member, Jonathan, and I have talked a lot about, you know, the change in season structure. Now that, you know, this thing almost, sadly, and it's only, you know, 26, 27-ish episodes, is very much like a one classic season of television. And now that we're in like 10 episode chunks, how that whole arc of a season looks, as opposed to, I think we haven't really been able to break out of the like one story per season thing. And I think that like the Bebop model, where like, you know, 1, 5, 10, and then like 25 are really that kind of syndicate story. They're always a presence, but you get bits of them. And then most of the time they're in the shadows or not there at all. And like, I feel I'm excited to see us be able to find a 10 episode or a 12 episode structure that can feel more like Bebop or some of those other great single seasons that has that overstory, but doesn't get bogged down in it, where that's literally the only thing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, this was a blast talking Bebop. Like, I really enjoyed this. Glad we did it. Let's move on to what you were talking about, Johnny.
Yeah. So it's slow realization, and I don't, and there's a, it's, I think he's an out. Fetter was not ever intended. Fetter, and honestly, I don't know if I've ever said this, was my backup Demon Days character initially. I had this other insane idea that I couldn't quite figure out how to do mechanically because of D&D Beyond. There was a whole ruse involved with the other players. And my backup character was like, oh, this guy's mafia informer, kind of slick, super high on the like charisma. But kind of also very young and kind of a knucklehead a little bit. And then I didn't actually really realize how much Spike was in there until I kind of watched rewatching the show after we started recording Demon Days. And I'm like, oh, damn it. Like,
but the problem is, it wasn't just Fetter. It was all of us kind of fell into that.
Yeah.
Pattern. Like, it's really funny because Taz is like definitely Faye.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
even to the, like, the past, like revisiting your episode with like the decimated,
oh my god, I know,
home, and I was just like, oh my god, did we accidentally,
yeah, and we have a mom character with a dark past who, you know,
yeah,
is the jet black of the group, and then yeah, and then Lace is definitely the Ed.
Oh, but I love Drew's like, so wait, I haven't seen the show. Am I like that guy? And we're like, yes, you
100%. 100%.
You did it without even knowing you were doing it.
Yeah.
Like,
it just fell into this funny, like, this really great rhythm.
I mean, if you have to, you know what I mean? If you have to be emulating somebody.
And again, the crew of the Bebop doesn't get much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to now listen to it with that in mind.
Oh, just wait. I mean, it comes up in the next few episodes. It really comes up, like the reveal of us going like, oh my god, like, what have we done? But yeah. If it doesn't get you first, we definitely point it out, and then it's kind of hard to see it the other way. I'm going to have to start doing very unspike things. Even the, like, hangover stuff, like, I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever get injured and have to be wrapped head to toe in tape like a mummy?
Just completely wrapped. No, the worst injury I've had in the entire game so far was party inflicted. So I've still never gotten hurt worse than that.
Yeah, and you fought a whole, you did a whole fight naked.
I did an entire fight naked, yes.
I hate Fetter so much.
None of that surprised me. all right, I think we should move into plugs and then we can say goodbye. I will start off with Behind the Hype, formerly After the Hype. We're doing it every Thursday. This month is all about Scarlett Johansson. We just had an episode last Thursday about Rough Night, which was a little bit more rough to watch than I had hoped.
Are you watching Eight-Legged Freaks, though?
No, we're not watching Eight-Legged Freaks. The next one for this Thursday is Girl with the Pearl Earring. And then Under the Skin. And then Iron Man 2 is our schedule for Scarlett Johansson.
I'm so curious to see why.
It's very intentional to try to go, because Scarlett Johansson is an incredibly talented woman. And she does a lot of genres, so we picked a different genre movie each time.
Fantastic.
To see her range. The comedy one was a little rough. Not her strong suit. But she still did the best she could, and it was fun to watch. So, you know, check out our episode on it. They're a little bit shorter than After Hype used to be. They're usually around 45 minutes. And we just kind of geek out about one person. And if you want to see our previous ones, we did Joe Dante and then the editor Dee Dee Allen, and both of those months were a ton of fun. And anything else After the Hype, Behind the Hype related, check out athpod.com. Johnny, Sam, what are you guys plugging?
Hey, I'll take Demon Days, Sam, since you have your own magical thing to do. But Demon Days 40 issue, episode 41 just came out. Now is the time to take some quarantine time on your walks and catch up if you haven't. I think we're telling a really fun story together, and I listen to, as someone who's a fan of actual plays, I think we do a great job. Big stuff coming up, interesting confrontations afoot, and I hope the fun that we have on the table comes out, and they're my favorite group of people to play with, and I think that sometimes we get into it and we'll improvise like a 10-minute scene together. And I think we do a pretty damn good job, if I say so myself. And look, we have a great Bullywug too, who introduces everything. But no, I mean, now is the time. Listen to some long form media when everything else is chopped up or not there, and just dive into Demon Days and then come tell us what you think. And let's get going on that Discord erotic fan fiction. We're ready.
Yes, seconding that. If you have even a tenth of the fun that we have playing it while you're listening to it, you're going to have a really good day, because it's such a good time. I don't actually hate Fetter. I just like making fun of him.
He's too super serious, so someone's got to. You know what I mean?
I suppose I should plug my podcast, Samwise. It's an advice podcast in which I answer every question in life using the Lord of the Rings extended editions and their special features. And in these uncertain times, you know, if you've got questions, hit me up. I will definitely answer them. You can find it at athpod.com or email me, sam.wise.ath@gmail.com. It comes out every Tuesday. It's very short. So, you know, since we're not commuting right now, that's a nice one to just, you know, run through. Well, you got some time.
My neighbor is now a new fan of your show.
Big fan.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I told him about all of our shows. Yours is the only one he's still listening to.
There you go. And another fun, go back through Samwise and try to figure out which one of those questions come from me, because some of the ones are not the ones you think they are. and I'll just do one last. I forgot. Again, Hollywood Helps Hospitals. Look for them online. They should be popping up. If you are in the industry and you're sitting on a bunch of gear in your kit and would like to put it to good use in this time, we're going to try to help make that a reality. So keep looking online for more from them. Hollywood Helps Hospitals.
Sounds good. Johnny, Sam, thank you so much for coming on, talking Bebop with me. This was a blast.
Yes, thank you.
I love you. Sam, I miss you every day. You know
I miss you tremendously. Thank you for this. I needed it.
Yep. Don't we all? Okay, so thank you very much, everyone, for listening, especially all you friends of the former Venture Bros podcast who've been coming along to Corona Cartoons. I know there's a bunch of you out there, and I'm very happy that you've stuck with our show, and as it's changed dramatically. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening, and bye.
Bye.